the book of Exodus, beginning in chapter 3, the Lord said in the 7th verse, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. And you don't have to take any more calls in here. He was speaking from the famous burning bush. He called Moses now to go and deliver the children of Egypt out of bondage. And in the 4th chapter, Moses said, Behold, they will not believe me. Now bring your conversations to a close. Does everybody, including those watching at home, need to join us in this communion? And this is getting habitual enough. During the last song, I just chewed my staff out royally when I found out that on Thursday night, a communion was not woven into the service of reruns. I want communion every single night and every single Sunday afternoon, whether live or rerun. No exceptions. I want everybody to know that. In fact, I think I had a speech here where I told the voice of faith to holler. And how Thursday night was missed is history. But I have fixed it on this network. Communion every single night. The only person that can change that's me. And if you don't have it, particularly when I'm gone, and it's a rerun, then somebody flopped up. Whole combination of words. I decided there was no word would adequately express it. I just combined many. That also means the people that are calling should be accustomed to it and should quickly say, just add 3 or 4 zeros to that total and I'm going to take communion with you, and get off the phone in a hurry. This is special time. Having been called by God in the burning bush, the 4th chapter now of Exodus, the burning bush appearing in the 3rd. Moses answered and said, But behold, to these people he's called to deliver, he's making reference as he addresses God. Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord decided to use this incident to not only give illustration convincingly to Moses, but to do what he did so often with these people who were chosen to be his oracle, to expand upon the type or the shadow cast that pointed to the work of Christ, namely Moses, the mediator who would deliver them out of Egypt. And he used strange illustrations. The Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he, God said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom, next to your heart. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it came to pass, God still speaking, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. So what is God trying to say? Well, correction, saying. God doesn't try to say anything. What are we trying to understand? Psalm 110 makes it very clear. The rod not only is a symbol of power, but it's a symbol of the ultimate power, the one who would say one day, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth, the one that God will exalt until everyone will bow at the name of Jesus, heaven, earth, things under the earth. And in this short little symbolic act, though it was very real, I mean, the rod was turned into a real serpent and back to a real rod, but it carried with it a symbolic meaning in those three short steps of the mediatorial action of our Savior, the one that was the rod of God's authority, who would be cast down and in symbol become the serpent and then be lifted up again. Out of many, 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 many interpretations of this symbol. Some say it points to the historic movement of Israel into Egypt, where God sent a man before him, as Psalm 105 says, and Joseph was the ruler in Egypt when they came, and then they were cast into bondage, and then God lifted them out again. That and many other meanings probably do attach to the sign. The most important and continuing meaning is God's in control. And the many commentators have made a lot of words flow, and quite accurately, that the serpent, in whatever his position, is permissively allowed his movement and totally under the control of God. When God's time comes, he can control any action of the serpent as a symbol of Satan. But the deeper meaning is still that of the redemptive mediatorial work that was typified in this act that pointed to Christ. Some say, well, how could Christ be cast down as a serpent? He became our sin bearer. The basic principle of the role of the mediator is that God, through his Son, did not just offer himself a sacrifice for the sinner. In his mediatorial role, he literally took our iniquity upon him. Our transgressions, our sins, our impurities were laid on him. He didn't just die for the sinner. He took upon himself every sin, past, present, and future, that man has, is, and will ever commit. It's the same symbol of the serpent being lifted in the wilderness, where he is typified as the sin bearer, so identified with our sins that he is viewed as the sinning thing. And in this rod that was Christ, cast down to become the serpent, lifted up again as the rod of all authority and exalted above all in his resurrection power, we have another symbol that that which is deliverance of sin is totally God's and nothing that we can do. The same symbol is repeated in the hand thrust in the bosom, the heart, for it's out of the heart that proceed the issues of life, and we are corrupt according to the sinful desires, and this hand thrust into the bosom comes out leprous, page after page in God's book, the Old Testament symbol of sin at its worst. Leprosy always became a type of sin. Again, that mediatorial hand thrust into the area of the heart comes out leprous as Christ became our sin bearer, and then is cleansed again because he not only had our sins laid on him, but he also in victory rose and cast away those sins forevermore, and he rose victor over death, hell, and the grave. He lives forevermore, but he became, as the serpent in our place, recipient of God's wrath. He became the carrier of leprosy as all of our sins were laid upon him. And he rose again, having performed that act, as Hebrews 1 says, sit down, the symbol of having finished the job. He sits down at the right hand of the Father, having become our mediator. The sins of the serpent became identified with him, and God poured his wrath out on Christ, and he rose again to be our advocate, one tempted in all points as we are, who did no sin and understands the temptation, but out of his love for us, let our sins be laid on him, let the leprosy of our condition become his, and rose again that he might forevermore intercede for us. The controlling concept is the one I hammer at every single time we come to this table. Salvation is all of God. God and God alone typified the saving of man in the rod which was Christ that became the serpent and became the rod of authority again, in the right hand of God which flows mercy and power and strength to those that he chooses. He became sin who knew no sin, and he became cleansed, rising in victory, having taken our sins and delivering us from them. In every case, as we go to this table, I tell you, throw the guilt away. There's nothing you can do in the way of self-examination or hard work in discipline on yourself to make yourself worthy. The passage that brings that erroneous tradition, Paul's words to the Corinthians, never once spoke of us examining ourselves to see if we're worthy. Paul said, examine to see if you partake worthily, the manner of partaking. And you partake worthily when you discern the Lord's body. You partake unworthily when you eat and drink, not discerning the Lord's body. I go to these passages again and again to show in the oft repetition the constant revelation in picture and type and symbol and direct word that it is God that saves by having his Son, the rod of authority, the creative voice of eternity, become sin in our place. he became sin, 1 Corinthians 5 says. Who knew no sin, he became sin. Galatians 3, he let the curse fall on him. He, the rod of authority, became the serpent, symbolizing the ingraftation, imputation of sin onto him that he might die in our place. But he rose again as the rod of authority to claim the inheritance for the saints. He took the leprosy of sin that he might die in our place and rose again as the first fruits of the resurrection, all of which teaches again and again, you come to this table and you claim by faith the work that he has already accomplished. You don't make yourself worthy by self-examination. We become worthy by the blood of the Lamb. Just as literally as God could take a rod, turn it to a serpent, and restore it to a rod to symbolize the work of Christ, God can let us take this cup, and as oft as we drink it, remember him, and have the saving grace of God imputed to us, and we can take it and say, thank you, Lord, for your grace. We're made worthy by the blood of the Lamb as we partake together in Jesus' name. The rod is the rod of strength. Leprosy was the symbol of sin. Sin was covered. He died that we might live. He became the sin bearer in our place, but he rose again. In strength of power, his hand came forth, cleansed from the leprosy and all that is attached to the fruit of sin. Again and again, there are the implications of strength and healing from a terrible sickness that always is associated with the symbols of that wonderful act we commemorate in the communion. That's why there's bread as well as wine. There was healing provided as well as covering for sin. He not only bore our sins, iniquities, and transgressions, our sicknesses and infirmities were laid upon him. And not only is sin removed, but the sickness symbolized by leprosy is also carried away. And we can take the bread and claim the promise, you that are sick across this network and in the sound of my voice, and claim it, discerning the Lord's body, with his stripes ye were healed. Take it as your promise and claim it as we partake together in Jesus' name. Now on the telephone, talk to me, as I always ask you to do as we finish communion. I repeat, it was God who turned the rod to the serpent and turned the serpent to the rod. It was God who smote the hand with leprosy, and it was God who cleansed the leper's hand. Salvation is all of God. It's his gift. And he has stated quite clearly he gives it to men and women of faith. Now get on the phone and let me see some faith this afternoon as you make your commitments for this month. Talk to me.